This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good day, listeners. Rodney Brown speaking, and as always, good to be with you today with something from the Scriptures. Today I'm reading in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. We read these words, "And you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." At the end of Ephesians chapter 1, we read of a Christ who was dead, but then we read of the mighty power of God working in Christ when God raised Christ from the dead and God seated Christ at his own right hand far above all. And then we come into the beginning of chapter 2, and the first two words of the chapter are these words, "and you." Of course, the word "and" is a linking word. And so what we find here at the beginning of chapter 2 is that Christians are linked with Christ. What happened to Christ has also happened to believers in him. You see, we read of a Christ who was dead. And now we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "You were also dead." We know, of course, that Christ was dead. He had died for the sins of others. He died for sins. But here, these people who were dead, he says, you were dead in sins. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And this is the situation of those who do not have eternal life. They do not have the life of God spiritually. They are dead in trespasses and in sins, dead to God. But then verse 2 says, "in which you once walked according to the course of this world." Is this not a bit strange? In verse 1, Paul says to them, "you were dead." And then in verse 2, he says, "you were walking." Dead people walking. How can that be? Well, of course, as far as God was concerned, they were dead. But as far as the world was concerned, they were alive. Dead to God, alive to the world. And here we see that the world has its course. He says, "you are walking according to the course of this world." And we think of the course of the world. We think of the path that the world is walking. Tragically, it is away from God, with each day further and further away from God. And that course started when Adam took the first wrong step. His first wrong step was to be disobedient. He plunged himself and his descendants into a course of sin that's taking the world away from God. So this is the course of this world. And then Paul says that it is according to the prince of the power of the air. This is the controlling one as far as the course of this world is concerned. This world is being controlled by the evil one. People think that they are in control of their own lives. They think that they can do what they want to do and not do what they don't want to do. But really, behind it all, there is an evil force and an evil person indeed. And he's called the God of this world. And we read that what he does as far as the people of this world is concerned. We know what his end will be. And I believe he also knows what his end will be. But he doesn't want to be there alone in that awful place. And so he wants to pull as many people as possible with him. And indeed it's him who is controlling the lives of the people of this world. And we read of him as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Remember the disobedience of the first man, Adam. We read how that he was disobedient, and because of one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. All who followed him were made sinners, and indeed were all descendants of that first man, Adam. And because of that, we become sons of disobedience. In verse 3, we see that Jews and Gentiles are all the same. Gentiles who did not have the same privileges as the Jews, but Jews as well, although they had many privileges, they had a covenant relationship with God, they had the scriptures of the Old Testament. But he says, Paul says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. At the end of verse 1, we read about sons of disobedience. And as a result of that disobedience, then we read of children of wrath. And all are the same, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. And this is the past condition of these people that Paul is writing to. Paul is writing to people who are at Ephesus, people who are believers in Jesus Christ, and they're called saints. We find this in chapter 1 and verse 1. But in the past, it was bleak, and in the past, it was a tragic and a sad situation. But then we come to verse 4 with these two opening words, but God. It reminds me of the parable of the Good Samaritan that we were thinking of recently, when we thought about the poor, helpless man lying on the road, and we thought about the priest who didn't help him, we thought about the Levite who didn't help him, and then we read, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. And but is a word of contrast. And here we read the sad condition of the people in the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2, but then we read of the contrast. But God. God has stepped in. If God hadn't stepped in, then things would have been continuing the way that they were. But thank God he has stepped in, because he is a God who is rich in mercy. And the mercy of God can keep back that which people deserve. We would deserve the judgment of God, deserving of the wrath of God, but God on a righteous basis can keep the wrath away. And it's because of his great love with which he loved us. Because of his love, he shows mercy, and he indeed keeps that mercy back on a righteous basis. And it's because, of course, of what his son Jesus Christ has done on the cross at Calvary. God loves, and because of his love, he's also righteous. And there on the cross of Calvary, he dealt righteously with sins in the person of his own son. We read that he was the one who knew no sin, but he was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so God is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. And we go on to read in the following verses what God has done and what God yet will do. So God willing, next time we'll come back to Ephesians chapter 2 and think again, not all only of what God has done in the past, but of what God is doing presently and of what God will do in the future for all of those who believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening today. If you would like to contact me, you can do it on my email address. It is rodwbrown@gmail.com.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.